The fourth story, A Prophet and a King. When Samuel became a judge after the death of Eli, he found a very bad state of affairs in the kingdom. Because they had been visited with famine and disease and oppressed by the Philistines, the people thought the Lord had forsaken them. There was much work for Samuel to do, and he thought his first and greatest work was to unite the people. This was not an easy thing to do. Perhaps if I tell you something about the country itself, you will understand why. Palestine is a very small country. It is little larger than Wales. It is a land of mountains and hills. Through the center of it runs the Jordan with its deep and fertile valleys. On the west is the Mediterranean Sea, and the shore has no harbors. Here in this little shut-in country live the 10 tribes of the race we know as Israel. They were all of one blood. They had a common place of worship at Shiloh where the ark was kept. They all fervently believed that God was ruler over Israel, that they were the chosen people of the Lord. But although they had a common faith, the tribes were in no way united. Again and again they broke out in war against each other. Their lives were not unlike those of the clans who used to dwell in the highlands of Scotland. There was not only this war among themselves, they were surrounded by foes on all sides, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Amalekites, and greatest of all, the Philistines. These were their worst enemies. In the days of Abraham, they were a race of shepherds and farmers. Now they owned 5 powerful walled-in cities and were a highly civilized and prosperous people. They were a race of warriors. How then could a nation of scattered tribes who were always quarreling among themselves hope to conquer them? There was but one way, and unto Samuel was given the task of showing the children of Israel that way. After the ark had been captured by the Philistines, the priests who were not slain were scattered far and wide. Shiloh was desolate. Samuel knew that the first step in the great work was to kindle anew the religious faith of the people. They had been worshiping false gods and had fallen into evil ways. Samuel called them all together at Mizpah, told them that if they would repent, the Lord would still favor them. He set up a stone in the place which was called Ebenezer, which means the stone of help. Then the bands of prophets whom Samuel had gathered together went among the people from tribe to tribe, keeping alive the faith. But Samuel grew old, and when he felt age creeping upon him, he made his 2 sons judges over Israel. But these sons, like Hophni and Phinehas, walked not in their father's ways. They did wicked and evil things, and the people would not have them for judges. So the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel's house at Ramah and demanded that he make them a king. Samuel was not pleased. He had tried to judge the affairs of Israel wisely and well, but he prayed to the Lord, and he told Samuel that he should hearken to the voice of the people. If they wished a king, they should have one. But the Lord told Samuel that he should tell them all the things they must expect if they choose a king to rule over them. And the Lord said, "It is I whom they have rejected, not thee. In that they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee." So Samuel called the people together again and said unto them, "This is the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons from you and make them serve him. Some he will make to plow his ground and to reap his forest. Some will be sent into battle where they will be killed. Some will be forced to drive his chariot and to run alongside of it as servants. Some will have to make his weapons of war and build his chariots. Nor is that all. He will take your daughters also and make them servants, cooks, bakers, confectionaries. And what is worse than all, he will take your vineyards, your olive yards, your fields, 1/10 of your seed, and give to his officers and servants. And he will take your men servants, your maid servants, and the best of your young men, your beasts and animals, and put them all to his own work. He will take 1/10 of your flocks, and ye shall all be servants to the king. When you cry out against these things which your king will do, the Lord will not answer you in that day." But The people would not listen to the advice of Samuel. They said, "Nay, we will have a king. We will be like the other nations. Our king shall go before us, judge us, and fight our battles." Then Samuel said, "Go ye every man into his own city." Now one of the leaders of the tribe of Benjamin was a man named Kish. He had a son whose name was Saul, a splendid young fellow, good-looking and tall, much taller than any of his companions. From his shoulders upward, he was higher than any of the other young men of Israel. He was modest and dignified and loved by his friends. One day Kish, his father, discovered that his asses had wandered away, so he called his son to him and said, "My son, take one of the servants with you and go and seek the asses." Saul went. He and his companion traveled through the hilly country of Ephraim and through the land of Shalishah, but they were not there. They went on through the land of Shalem and through the land of the Benjamites, but they did not find the animals. And when they reached the land of Zuph, Saul realized they were far from home, and he said to his servant, "Let us return. My father will cease thinking about his asses and will be troubled about his son. Let us go back." They turned to go back as they had come, but the servant said, "This is Ramah. There is in this city a man of God. He is held in great honor by the people. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Let us go to him. Perhaps he can tell us what we wish to know." "But," said Saul, for it was the custom in those days whenever anyone made a visit to the seer or prophet, that he should take with him an offering or gift of some kind, "what can we take him if we go? Even our bread is gone." But the servant answered and said, "I have yet the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God." So they started to the city where the good man lived, and as they climbed the hill on the top of which was the city, they met a whole troop of young girls with water vessels going to the wells to get water. And they spoke to the young maidens and said, "Tell us where the seer is." "Behold, he is before you," they answered. "He is this day come to the city, for the people have a sacrifice, and they will not eat until he comes, because he doth bless the sacrifice. Go ye therefore into the city before he goeth up into the high place." Saul and his servant went on, and when they were before Samuel's house, they met the prophet face to face. Saul and Samuel looked a moment at each other, and the Lord said unto Samuel, "Behold the man of whom I spoke to thee. He shall be king over my people Israel." And when Samuel saw the splendid young fellow, who came up to him modestly and said, "I pray thee, tell me where I shall find the seer," he thought to himself, "It is well." So he said in answer to Saul's question, "I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place. You shall eat with me this day. In the morning I will let thee go and will tell thee all that is within thy heart. As for the beasts thou hast been seeking, do not be troubled further about them. They are found." Then Samuel said other things to Saul, things which Saul could not understand, for he did not yet know that he had been chosen to be king over Israel. So when Samuel said, "On whom is the desire of all Israel? Is it not on thee and thy father's house?" Saul did not know what the prophet meant. He answered and said, "Why do you speak to me in this manner? Is not my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? And is not the tribe of Benjamin the smallest of the tribes of Israel?" Samuel took Saul and his servant to the guest chamber of his house, where there were about 30 people gathered together. He gave Saul the chief place among them, and said to his servant, "Bring the portion which I gave thee, and said unto thee, set it by." When the servant returned with the meat, Samuel set it before Saul, and said, "Behold, that which hath been reserved, set it before thee, and eat. It hath been kept for thee until the appointed time." So Saul ate with Samuel that day and slept in his house at night. They went together up to the housetop where all the people could see them and talked with each other. And early in the morning Samuel called to Saul, saying, "Up, that I may send thee away." Saul arose and walked with Samuel down to the end of the city. And when they had reached the foot of the hill, Samuel bade Saul send a servant on ahead, because he wished to speak with him alone. When the servant was out of hearing, Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon Saul's head, and kissed him, and said, "The Lord hath anointed thee to be prince over his inheritance." Then he told him other things which seemed to Saul very strange. He told them that after he had left him, he should go his way homeward, and that when he came to Rachel's tomb, he would meet two men who would say to him, "The asses which thou hast sought are found, but thy father is saying, 'What shall I do for my son?'" Samuel told him also that when he should come to the oak of Tabor, he would find there three men, one of whom would be carrying three kids, another three loaves of bread, another a bottle of wine, and that when he came up to them, they would salute him and give him two loaves of the bread, and that when he went further and came to the hill of God, where lay the garrison of the Philistines, he would meet a band of prophets coming down from the high place with their musical instruments, and that when he saw them, the voice of the Lord would speak to him, and he should prophesy with them. And all these things happened just as Samuel had told Saul that they would. He told Saul also that he should go on before him to Gilgal, and remain there till he came, which would be in 7 days, and that when he came he would tell him further what to do. Saul did as he was told. When he came to the hill, he met the band of prophets, and the voice of the Lord spoke to him. He joined the prophets and began prophesying with them, and the people said to each other, "What has come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" When Saul reached home, his uncle said to him, "Whither went ye?" "To seek the asses, and when we found them not, we went to Samuel." "Tell me, I pray thee, what said Samuel to you?" "He told us plainly that the beasts were found," said Saul, but concerning the other things of which Samuel had told him, he kept silent. Then Samuel called the people together again and said to them, "You have rejected your God, who delivered you out of Egypt, and out of the hand of all the kingdoms that oppressed you. You have said unto him, 'Give us a king.' Now, therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your thousands and by your tribes." When all the tribes had assembled, Samuel separated the tribe of Benjamin from the rest. Then he separated the family of Kish from the tribe of Benjamin. But Saul, the tall, young son, was not to be found. Samuel did not know what to do, but the Lord spoke to him, saying, "Behold, he hath hidden himself among the stuff." They ran and brought Saul out of his hiding place. And when he had come, Samuel said, "See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen. There is none other like him among all the people of Israel." And when Saul stood up before them in his fine young manhood, when they saw how tall and modest and dignified he was, the people were filled with rejoicing. They shouted and shouted till the hills and woods echoed with the cry, "God save the king!"